Monster Man, Episode 105, Grell to Griff. Hello and welcome to Monster Man, a show about monsters because monsters are great. I'm James Holloway and I'm reading my way through the gaming books of yesteryear. And as I do, I'm talking about the monsters that I find in them. Their history, their mythology, their ecology, their imagery, and how to use them in games. In today's episode, we're continuing our journey through the G section of the Fiend Folio. Boy, it seems like we've been here a while, huh? It's a big chapter. And we're taking a look at some of the monsters in it. We got the Grell, the Grimlock, and the Griff. So let's get started. First up is the Grell. Now, the Grell is one of the Fiend Folio monsters that has survived into the modern day in Dungeons & Dragons. I think it's along with the Grick, which I associate with it, even though they're not from the same place. It's kind of a stock D&D underdark gribbly, you know, and sort of associated with Mind Flayers for no good reason other than that they both have tentacles and brains are involved. It's designed by Ian Livingston, and it's pretty cool. It's basically a big tentacly brain monster, and it latches onto you with its tentacles, and it almost certainly paralyzes you because it swings 10 attacks, each of which you have to save against paralysis if you get hit by. And then it holds you with two of its tentacles and beats the snot out of you with the remaining eight and its beak, and it doesn't have to roll to hit if you're paralyzed, so you're going to have a real, real bad time. The Grell is mechanically interesting. I think it works particularly well because, so you can attack the main body or the tentacles, both of which are pretty good AC. If you hit the tentacles, it doesn't matter how much damage you do, every hit eliminates a tentacle. So you kind of have this balance between, like, well, we can try and kill the monster, or we could swing at the tentacles, because if we hit enough of them, we're going to reduce the amount of damage that our pal who's being mauled by the Grell is taking. So everybody can kind of participate, even if they don't necessarily do a lot of damage, because you don't have to do a lot of damage to knock out a tentacle. Now, that is assuming you hit it. Great time for things that don't require rolls to hit. So mechanically, the Grell is fun, and visually it's fun. Now, I wonder to some extent whether Ian Livingston is designing a creature here that sort of fits well with the visual style of Russ Nicholson's art. The Grell was a Fiend Factory monster, and it's in the Fiend Factory miniatures line, number 11, or 11-1, because after the legal problem where Citadel no longer had the rights to make them, it was replaced by another monster with the same code. I wonder always if the interaction with the visual isn't improved by having the miniature, like, you have a sense of the monster's appearance. Again, I don't know, that's the same logic that would give us the Crab Man, so, and the Hook Horror. So maybe I'm wrong. Anyway, the Grell, it looks good, it's pretty scary, but it's scary in a way that is manageable. It's immune to lightning, which I don't know what that's all about, but, yeah, I think it's pretty good. I don't have very much to say about it, other than that, like, it is interesting how things with tentacles kind of get lumped in with each other. It's a kind of, like, Cthulhu penumbra effect, I guess, which is one of my other annoyances, is people going, oh, well, it's a mythos thing because it's got tentacles on it, but that's for another day. Anyway, yeah, it's a big tentacle brain, and it outputs an absolute heckload of damage. Next, we have the Grimlock, created by Albi Fiori. Now, Grimlocks are yet, like, I bag on Grimlocks a lot because in my mind, the Grimlock symbolizes, like, yet another race of belligerent underground primitives. These are of your beefier two-hit die level, I guess. But they've got a hierarchy, and there's camps, and the camps have females and children, and every X number of Grimlocks is led by a leader, and then every larger X has a champion, and here's a table to determine what kinds of weapons they have, and blah-de-blah-de-blah-de-blah-de-blah, right? It's not that there's anything wrong with it, it's just that it's very similar to a large number of other monsters. Thing is, the Grimlock is actually one of the more interesting ones of that bunch. Like, it is aware that, you know, Albi Fiori is aware that this is competing with gnolls and bugbears and hobgoblins and what have you, and so therefore he's given them a distinct gimmick. And this gimmick is that they're underground dwellers, right? So they're blind. They have a kind of echolocation or some kind of, you know, dark sense, whatever, but their blindness gives them this other interesting quality. So there's a chance, a small chance, that they allow a Medusa to share their lair because they're blind. They're not going to look at her and turn to stone. Although, in fairness, that would also mean that their lair would be lightless, in which case you also wouldn't see the Medusa turn to stone, right? Anyway, Grimlocks are actually pretty cool, and their distinctive appearance and a possible similarity in the name makes me think that they are based on the Morlocks from H.G. Wells' The Time Machine, which I know I also said about the Gibberlings, but when you look at the Grimlocks, I don't know, they do look a good deal like Morlocks. Specifically, they look like the Morlocks from the George Pal film, The Time Machine. And you can just Google that up and you'll see what I'm talking about. I like their kind of raggedy clothes in the illustration as well. Overall, no, I think Grimlocks are actually pretty good. You can definitely see the kind of, like, again, they have the sort of degenerate barbarian caveman kind of a look to them. And I think that that is in keeping with their aesthetic and does make them visibly different from the more kind of martial and fantasy-y looking creatures among the sword fodder humanoid monster types. There's never anything wrong with adding more of these, and more will definitely be added as the thing goes along, but I've always kind of picked on the Grimlocks as an example of it just being one too many, and it's probably a little bit unfair, actually. Grimlocks are okay. Finally, we have the Griff, created by Peter Brown, and this is another example of, like, maybe a monster that just has one too many things going on about it. So it's a bird. It's a big bird, like the size of an eagle, and it has too many legs. So some have got, you know, four, but some have got six, and some have got eight. It's got a long, pointy beak, which it uses to, the female uses to inject her eggs into the bloodstream of a living host, where they eventually, like, you know, mature and hatch out and you die. But why is it a bird? Doesn't that, I mean, that just sounds like an insect injecting you with some kind of ovipositor. You know what I mean? That's an action that we normally associate with insects. And this is a fantasy world. I realize there's no reason for it not to be a bird, but why is it a bird? It seems like some kind of medieval scribal error. Like somebody told somebody about an assassin bug, and they were like, a thing that flies? Oh, I guess it must be a bird. And he wrote it down in his bestiary like it was a bird. It's the extra legs that make it feel that way, right? Like, it has a bunch of extra legs. Why does it have a bunch of extra legs? Because it's a bug. Bugs have lots of extra legs. I don't get the Griff. Again, there's nothing really wrong with it. It's just that all that, like, life cycle and injecting eggs and so on and so forth stuff just naturally says bug to us. Like, we think of bugs when we think of that kind of behavior. So we're like, oh, it's an insect. But why is it, like, a giant crow with extra legs and, like, it has a long pointy beak? It's like a giant hummingbird. It's just very strange. It doesn't help that, like, alphabetically it comes after another monster which has a very similar gimmick, the assassin bug. I don't think you can put that at the foot of any one creator, right? Because it makes sense that different people would come up with ideas that were quite similar to one another, because all of those ideas basically make sense and are good. It's really up to Don Turnbull, or in the final whatever, Lawrence Schick, to look at these things and go, well, I see that some of these are a bit similar to each other. Like the dragonfish. Like, no one went, do we really need three different spiny fish that you could step on and hurt your foot? I guess, again, when we have a feature of a monster that stands out as much as the Griff's weirdness does, the only thing we can do is play up that feature, right? So the Griff, we should say, like, oh yeah, well, it's a normal bird, but for some reason it's a huge size, for some reason it's doing this egg injecting bit, for some reason it's got a bunch of extra legs, right? Clearly there's some kind of freakish mutation. Chaos magic is loose in the world, and it's turning ordinary birds into bizarre creatures like the Griff. And as we go further and further into this dungeon built by sorcerers whose powers transcended those of mortal men and rivaled even the gods, we're going to find even more of these weird animals. And, like, we're going to meet stuff that doesn't make sense. We're going full Hieronymus Bosch down here. This bird's got a bunch of extra legs. Next up, the Achaerai. Yeah? Okay. There we go. Yeah, the Achaerai is a giant bird with extra legs as well. What in heck? But yeah, you could definitely do that. And the gorilla bear could be in there as well, right? Like, there's just a bunch of freakish mutations and they don't make any sense. And, you know, the very fact that it would make sense for a bug to do this and not make sense for a bird to do this is what makes the Griff particularly horrific. It fits into a particular type of scenario, and that's good enough, right? I mean, again, you're probably not going to use it twice, but when you consider how many monsters there are in this book, you got what you paid for. Alright, so that's the Griff rehabilitated, I suppose. That being the case, come back next week and we'll see what other strange monsters we can find a use for on Monster Man, a show about monsters because monsters are great. Thank you for listening.
Do you have a favorite monster? Do you have something you'd like me to talk about? Find me on Twitter at GonzoHistory or send me an email, gonzohistory@gmail.com. If you want to support the podcast, you can do so at patreon.com/Monster Man, where you'll find lots of extra bonus content and my brand new show, Patron Deities, in which I explore the deities and demigods advanced Dungeons & Dragons book. Check it out. Thanks for listening.